Hey there, friend. Ready to join me on a journey of transformation and grace? I'm Erica, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you here. As a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, wife, mom, and passionate business owner, I've experienced firsthand the freedom that comes from surrendering to God's word. And let me tell you, it's been quite the ride. Whether you're wrestling with past hurts, navigating relationships, or seeking wholeness, this podcast is for you. We'll tackle hot topics like sex, identity, and more, all through the lens of God's word. So grab your favorite pen, a fresh notebook, and pour yourself a cup of coffee, and let's dive in. Welcome to the Broken But Redeemed podcast, where every story matters and every heart finds hope. Hey, friend, welcome back to the Broken But Redeemed podcast. I am your host, Erica, and you are listening to episode number 6. And today's topic is actually a topic that you suggested we talk about here today. And that is the topic of alcohol. So I am going to give you a mini testimony of what my process with alcohol has been as I walk into a deeper relationship with the Lord. So let's go ahead and dive right in. My relationship with alcohol began long before I understood its complexities. From a very young age, it was a constant presence in my life. I grew up, with people around me drinking. It was normal for my dad to sit down and have dinner with a bottle of beer in front of him. It was normal for me to see people get drunk at parties growing up. It was just a very normalized thing then. And I believe that it is much more normalized now. And so if you've listened to episode number 1, you know that I was sexually assaulted. I was raped. And I believe that that's really where the downward spiral with alcohol began. I remember that it was the only thing that would help me feel less tense. I literally remember like constantly walking with my arm, with my body just stiff and like on guard. And the only thing that would help me kind of just breathe and let my body loose was alcohol. I remember that I really began to enjoy the physical aspects, that tingleness in your body, that relaxation that happen in your body when you drink alcohol. That's what drew me to it. It wasn't for the taste. It wasn't to fit in. It wasn't for anything. It was one to cope with the stuff that had been done to me. I started to use it as a coping mechanism, and then it began to be a source of dependency, where if I had a hard day at work, I would come and use it to unwind. Or if it was any sort of day, I would come and use it to unwind. And it's really sad to realize now that that's the example that my kids grew up with up until a couple years ago. Just to give you a little bit of context, if you haven't listened to episode 1, I gave my life to Christ in 2014, but I failed to make him Lord of my life. And I didn't do that until 2018. Then in 2018, I began to really commit more of my life to the Lord and get to know who he is. And then in 2021, I started a faith-based recovery program that you will hear me talk about all the time. And this is really where I began to pray that show me prayer to God. I began to ask him as I stepped into my first step study to show me what areas of my life I needed to work on, because there is just so many. It was hard to just focus on a couple. And so my first step study actually was not for alcohol. It was for anger, shame, and guilt. And the reason why it was for those things is because alcohol wasn't like a pressing thing for me. You see, I wasn't the type of drinker that would get drunk every time she would drink. I was the type of drinker that functioned still after drinking. And so, you know, if I had to work the next day, like I would show up no problem because I wasn't getting drunk. I was drinking a few drinks, but I was drinking them every day for the most part. In 2021, I went into my first step study. And through that, I started seeing that there was areas of my life where I was coming to different things instead of coming to God to help me with those things. And so my dependence were other things instead of God. And so the Lord, through that first step study, started to show me that I needed to do something about my relationship with alcohol. So through that process, through like that, those 18 months, my alcohol consumption decreased pretty significantly. However, in 2023, after my first step study and after working recovery, I really began to feel the Lord nudging me and saying like, hey, you're still idolizing this thing. You're still going to alcohol instead of coming to me as your source of peace, as your source of quietness and stillness. And so in 2023, I made my decision to abstain from alcohol 100%. And it was actually pretty sad because I remember that the years leading to 2023, so 2021 and 2022, I remember going to gatherings and like not drinking and being almost judged for not wanting to drink. And I remember thinking like, man, it's almost as if I'm expected to drink. And that saddened me because I realized what my life had looked like all those years. I realized the example that I had been giving our kids through those years. And I realized that the world expects you to drink. However, when you are dependent on God to be your source of joy, you don't need alcohol, not to have joy, not to relax, not to sleep, not to anything. It was pretty sad for me to see how normal and how expectant it was for anyone to pick up a drink. In 2023, like I said, I made that decision to abstain from alcohol 100%. Little did I know that 8 months later, the Lord was going to walk me through one of the most difficult seasons of my life without alcohol, in pure rawness. And so from January of 2023 through August of 2023, I had zero alcohol. And I'm not saying that it was easy because it wasn't. I'm not saying that I wasn't tempted because I was. However, what I do know is that every time that I felt like I couldn't do it anymore, I was my dad's caretaker. And that was not an easy task. It was, if you're a caretaker out there, God bless you. It is not an easy task. I remember there was plenty of nights where I was like, oh, I just need to be able to sleep. What if I just pick up a glass of wine? But in that same moment, I would quickly turn around and say to God, God, your strength, not mine. God, your will, not mine. And he would literally carry me out of those moments and into his presence. And I was able to not cave in to that temptation of picking up a drink. And so in August of 2023, August 28th of 2023, my dad passed away. And it was, though he was terminally ill, it was very unexpected for him to pass away then, at least for me. I had taken him into the hospital rooms plenty of times and every time we came out. And so my expectation was that he was going to come home with me. And when he didn't, it's like the carpet was pulled underneath my feet and I was just on the floor. And I remember feeling that pain and that agony and just being like, Lord, your will, not mine, your strength, not mine. Because I knew that if at any point I would give in to drinking alcohol again, it would have been there. I knew the breakthroughs that had come out of me giving up alcohol. I remember coming home that day and having a conversation with God and just telling him, like, I need you to carry me through this without alcohol. I need you to be my source of comfort and peace. I want you and nothing else. And for the first 3 months after my dad passed away, it seemed almost surreal how easy it was to not turn to alcohol. You see, in the moments where I felt the agony, it was in those moments that I pivoted and turned to God. And it was in those moments where He met me right where I was. And so then alcohol became not even a thing anymore. In a moment where I and the world would have been like, have a drink, relax, unwind, you need to take the edge off, God said, come to me and I will give you rest and I will give you peace. And that he did. I remember feeling like threatened as the grief began to consume me those first couple of days at home, the silence. I didn't want the house to be quiet because it just reminded me that he was no longer there. Those first, 8 months before my dad passed away, I realized now that those 8 months became like a footing for me to be able to stand on strong and walk into this process of grief and loss and feel every single emotion from it and not numb any of it. And so there is a couple of scriptures that came to mind through that season that really like they're like what I call convicting scriptures because they're pretty strong, but I needed that at that time. And so 1 Peter 4:3 says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And so I realized that I had squandered far too much of my life in pursuit of these fleeting pleasures. And so I looked at that verse and I was like, I've wasted so much of my life trying to numb the emotions that I am now having to go back and work through recovery. That this season of my life, I am going to walk through it holding the hand of God and having Him guide my way so that I am actually able to process this thing out instead of stuffing in the emotions. And so another verse that came to mind was Galatians 5:19, and it's pretty similar. It says the acts of the flesh. When we talk of the flesh, we talk about like our desire, our human desire. My human desire would have been to pick up a drink of alcohol and put myself to sleep that first night we came home from the hospital, but it wasn't. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition and envy, drunkenness. And it goes on. It says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I grabbed that verse and I found a sobering reflection on the consequences of succumbing to the temptations of my flesh. And so I began to notice that through that process of grief and loss, that the closer I drew to God, the less the need to pick up a drink was. And so the closer I drew to Him, the less I needed to drink, the less I needed of anything, really to numb anything, because the Lord was the one that was walking me through this process. I'm at a point where I can talk about my dad and not cry. I'm at a point where I can remember things that we used to do together and smile and find joy in that instead of sadness. So with these verses, God and the support of my husband and kids, I began this journey of sobriety through the grief and the loss. It was a path that was, yes, very much marked by setbacks and struggles and moments of doubt and despair. But with each passing day, I felt the grip of addiction loosen, and it was replaced by a newfound sense of freedom and clarity. And so today, as I reflect on the trials that have shaped me, I am filled with gratitude for the grace that has carried me through the darkest nights, God's grace. Though the pain of loss may never fully dissipate, I stand firm in the knowledge that I am no longer enslaved by the chains of addiction. And friend, let me share something with you. If the Lord did it with me, He can and He will do it with you. You just have to surrender to Him and let the process begin. Thank you for joining me today on this deep and personal journey. I pray that you find solace in the midst of your own struggles and that you may too discover the transformative power of faith and sobriety. Until next time. All right, friends. So as we wrap up this episode, I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Did anything resonate with you today? Did you see a reflection of your own journey and my story of brokenness and redemption? If so, I warmly invite you to join me on this path of healing and growth by subscribing to this podcast, offering feedback and a review. And please do not hesitate to share this with anyone who might find solace and empowerment in these words of hope. Until next time, remember, we may be broken, but in Christ, we are beautifully redeemed.